It is Saturday, October 13th, 2007, 10:06 a.m. on the central coast of California. Today on Geek Speak, the week in geek news. The bandwidth for geekspeak.org is provided by GNI, gnihosting.com. Welcome to Geek Speak, bridging the gaps between geeks and the rest of humanity. I'm your host, Lyle Troxell. Please keep in mind the views expressed during Geek Speak are not necessarily those of KUSP. During the second half of the show, I will welcome you to join our conversation. You can ask us anything you'd like. The numbers are 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. Of course, you can contact us right now. Just go to geekspeak.org and click on Contact Us. I'll give out that information again when I invite your participation in about a half an hour. Geek Speak on KUSP is supported by Cruise.io, providing local internet services, including DSL, computer care, classes, and website builders. Information about Cruise.io is available online at cruise.io.com or by calling 459-6301. This is Geek Speak. My name is Lyle Troxell. In the air with me are geeks Ryder Brooks, support engineer at Sun Microsystems.
Good morning, Lyle.
And Sean Cleveland, technical marketing manager at NVIDIA.
Good morning.
Miles Elam is out sick.
Or so he says.
Geeks, welcome to Geek Speak. Shall we do some geek news?
Let's do it.
Ryder, please.
Okay, so interesting, a Japanese electronic show, CTEC, an interesting device that intrigued me was... A touch screen, well, effectively it could be a touch screen. It's about a 3.5-inch LCD prototype developed by Sharp that can actually double as a scanner. So you could put, you know, for a 3.5-inch card, you could stick, like, your business card right on there, and it takes about a second, and it will actively scan the image the LCD image.
Oh, I love that idea. Yeah. Can you imagine a cell phone, like an iPhone?
Is it a portable
you just turn upside down on top of
the
card?
Well, the prototype is 3.5-inch, so yeah. Basically they're marketing it as this could be act as a scanner, a fingerprint scanner, a touch device that's basically optical-based instead of touch-based. So you can actually do more than 2 points of contact like the iPhone does. So it's really intriguing in that it only takes a second. It's awesome. Now, it's not the first type of device. It's not unique. I think another company, I forget who it was, had done it a couple of years ago, but it took like 9 seconds to scan.
Yeah, how many times do you get business cards and they just start stacking up? The idea of having like an app on your phone where you just go, I want this business card. That's nice.
Or, you can kiss it and have your lips, image of your
Ryder,
lips.
Ryder, well, please.
I love technology.
This is public radio.
But there's actually an optical sensor for each pixel. LCD pixel.
So I wonder if it's
I have
the
no
same
idea.
I can't
find
there,
any information on the technology, like how it's actually, if it's part of the pixel or if it's aside. You know,
and
then
like wonder how you add the light, because of course you have to add light in there too. So do you have to turn off the pixels around it and like use ambient light, or do you light up just the pixels around the one you're going to sense? It's kind of a cool idea of how it would work.
It's probably just uses the ambient light that you're currently using for the display.
But if you put a piece of backlight, the backlight, yeah, totally. I want one. So when is that coming out?
They say early next year.
Early next year. And it's an LCD technology by whom?
Sharp.
Okay, yeah. Big company. Makes sense.
I like Sharp.
In just a minute, Sean Cleveland's going to tell us all about what's going on with Windows XP and a new service pack. But first, do you remember the movie with Bill Murray, Groundhog Day? It's one of my favorites. In the movie, the main character was doomed to relive Groundhog Day the same day over and over and over again. And until he started learning to focus on others and not just himself. So it's a pretty good learning experience movie. Sometimes a pledge drive can seem like that movie. The same thing over and over. You wake up, we're saying the same thing. You get some coffee, you go to the bathroom, you come back to the radio, we're saying the same thing. It's a little bit like Groundhog's Day. By giving a little of yourself, you can end this drive and get us back to our regular program. It doesn't take a lot. It just takes your call of support right now. Call 1-888-777-1507. Or, of course, go to KUSP.org.
And why should you support KSP? Well, you can get it for free. We know that. And we also know that Now, not everyone supports KSP, but given that fact, we're delighted that we have so many listeners who appreciate objective and quality news. Still, there's something different about KSP members. It's a willingness to take responsibility for what they consume, an acknowledgement that without their participation, KSP wouldn't exist, a sense of shared purpose in keeping community resource available for everyone, even for those who just listen. So please call 1-888-777-1507 or go to KUSP.org.
You know, this is the third day of an eight-day pledge drive, which means this is the only day that you can pledge during GeekSpeak. So please call us now or go to KUSP.org.
I want to let you know that there is an anonymous KUSP leadership matching pledge, and it's for $365. So every bit of money up to $365 that we pull in during GeekSpeak will be doubled. So do it now. There's an old saying that when you find something that's important to you, you should get involved and give it your best. So take a moment out of your day right now to make a call of support. By contributing, you'll be involved not only as a listener but as a supporter of the station. You know, we're really glad that you value the programs here that we do. We're glad that you listen to GeekSpeak, that you take the time out of your day to listen to us. Thank you very much for doing that.
We've all done it at one time or another, putting something off because you only have a few minutes before you have to do something else. Or maybe you tell yourself that seems like an easy 3-minute task will turn into a 30-minute chore. When you call KUCP with your pledge, you can be assured that your conversation with a friendly volunteer will only take a few minutes. You'll be off the phone and onto your daily business in no time flat. Take a few minutes and become a member. Help make this campaign a big success for KUCP. You'll be glad you did. 1-888-777-1507. That's.
And I did mention that this is the only day during GeekSpeak, or during the week, that you can pledge during GeekSpeak.
That's true. So, Sean, what's going on with Windows XP?
Believe it or not, a Service Pack 3 is on the way. Kind of interesting because it all started with Microsoft saying, oh, we want everybody to go to Vista, so we're going to stop supporting XP at the end of 2007. And then they extended that to June 30th, 2008. And then they said, actually, we're not going to do that to our business customers because now we're going to actually be able to roll back Vista to XP because so many people demand it. And now it seems like XP is going to be around for a long time for everybody.
Yeah, and it's really surprising they decided to do a service pack of XP. I mean, that's shocking because really Microsoft's been pushing for Vista for so long. Do you think it's because their major purchasers like Dell and these large computer companies are saying, no, we need XP and we need it more secure and all those things? Is it a push outside of Microsoft or from within?
You know, you really do need a decent amount of hardware to run Vista. You know, new graphics and better CPU. And it doesn't really offer a lot that XP doesn't have except maybe a new interface. And it's 3D interface, which I think is pretty cool. But not everybody needs that. And XP gets you along just fine. New games that support what's called DirectX 10, they need extra hardware support. So to get all that extra eye candy, you even need more hardware. And a lot of people just like the fact that they can run games just fine in DirectX 9 on XP.
Yeah.
And why spend $200 to $300 to upgrade when you really don't need it?
When your primary use of your computer is editing Word documents and browsing the web, why do you need such a powerful 3D machine?
So there are quite a bit of hot fixes, 1,073 to be total.
My goodness.
No, that will be included in this 335 meg download.
That's
114 of those are security related. Microsoft is also adding 4 new features to Windows XP. Those include a new product activation model. You don't need to enter
your
product
key. That's not a feature. that's a consumer demand.
I'm only reporting the news here.
You don't have to put in a key?
Thank you, Lyle. Not during the product install.
Interesting.
I guess you have to do it afterwards now. There's a new network access protection modules and policies that have been included. These were used in Vista, and now they're being put into XP. That's good. Microsoft kernel mode cryptographic module for people using cryptographic algorithms. It's now going to be done in kernel mode drivers.
Interesting.
That should be a little better performance, and efficiency is better.
Definitely.
And a new black hole router detection. Black hole router in quotes. Don't ask me what that means.
Router, do you know what a black hole router is?
Not really, no.
Oh, man.
But it's supposed to protect against rogue routers that are discarding data.
Okay. So
maybe it takes that and puts it into its own little black hole.
Yeah.
And don't ask me where that data goes.
Black hole. So XP, one of the things that we've been talking about, how Vista is really nice. It's got a better security model, and it looks like they're adding that into XP. And security, there's two of those basically. There's security related, the better encryption toolkit that's part of the kernel, but also the whole networking security that is available. The only thing is that there's been a lot of talk in the Vista level that there's the security model has to do something with DRM detection, digital rights management detection. Remember, there's a whole bunch of network problems in Vista that are related to playing MP3 players.
Vista has a lot more
MP3
DRM.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if this XP patch, Service Pack 2, has some of those parts in, because they always claim that it's security related, and it could be part of the network stack modifications. The other one that I think is interesting is instead of during the installation into the product code, it's probably a live live authorization thing, where after you start the application, machine, it authenticates off of their servers.
Well, we could dig into it. I could read through the 1,073 hot fixes, and we could dedicate the show.
Okay, number 472. And
that's it.
Is it going to be more secure than Vista?
Well, you know, being the security analyst, an expert.
You're saying you don't know?
Pretty much.
Here's the thing,
a beta version of this out now. It hasn't been rolled out yet, and I don't really know when it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Hopefully by Christmas.
Yeah, I install
the service packs when they come out.
So you'll know.
Maybe if people want to wait for the next Geek Speak, I will get the beta.
All right. So for now.
And let you know how it went.
Thank you for doing the sacrifice. I appreciate that.
I'm doing it on a test machine, so no big deal for me. But I think generally the service packs are good to install.
You're listening to Geek Speak. My name is Lyle Troxell. In the air with me, Sean Cleveland. Thank you very much. And Ryder Brooks. So, Ryder, what else is going on in the news?
I came across an interesting article about a low-cost micro wind generator. This gentleman, Sean Frayne, based in Mountain View, he's a 28-year-old inventor. He came up with this idea while he was working in Haiti, which is essentially it's like a 3-foot-long bar, maybe 3 inches tall, 2 inches wide, has a mylar strip across it, you know, maybe a one inch taut mylar strip.
Okay.
And it's attached to basically, you know, copper coiling. And the premise behind it is that wind, and you base this off the, I forget the name of the bridge, the one up in Tacoma.
Yeah.
So basically the harmonics created by the wind blowing causes this mylar strip to oscillate wildly, just with minimal, you know, wind velocity. And basically it's a low-cost method of generating, low wattage current.
Interesting idea behind this is that you don't need a lot of wind to get a resonance happening on a very thin piece of material like that. So it seems to me that even a very small breeze will get that thing oscillating.
Yeah.
And then I guess there's a little
metal. He did it with a desktop fan in his office. There's a cool video on it. We'll post it. But
that's great.
And it's basically the cool thing about this is that it's minimal parts. I mean, anybody he has basically in his video, he demonstrates this. You know, he's got a roll of mylar tape that basically says will, you know, work for like hundreds of these things. So it's low cost. People that purchase this or it's given to can basically repair it themselves. It's very minimal components.
How much power is actually getting out of this thing?
I think it's under 50 watts. Basically,
I should assume.
Yeah, it's he was trying to target people in Haiti that need like low power lighting for like LED lights and things. That if there's no power source around, so it doesn't generate a lot. But his point is basically like this fills a niche for an area where when you try and take turbine technologies that you can't basically get efficiency out of it if you condense it into a smaller size.
Yeah, those large megawatt or not megawatt but large
kilowatt.
wind guys.
Yeah.
The blades on that are huge. It's a lot of shipping. There's a lot of expense around that. So it makes sense to get something very small. And of course, the material that's actually being blown by the wind is a piece of string. So all you have to do is make it taut.
Yeah.
Great idea. Really, really cool idea.
I like that. Doesn't hurt birds.
Yeah, that's true. It doesn't help birds either. Yeah, because you can also mount this relatively close to like a roof or something, because of course this wind can get across a roof.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be in a flight path. Like it. It's not very nice. Sean?
Yeah, I got a great piece of news for all you Comcast cable users out there
Are you one yet?
I happen to be one.
Oh, cool.
And I was really bummed because I had to give up my TiVo when I moved to Comcast cable. When I moved to HD Comcast cable.
You didn't want to buy the $800 TiVo.
I wasn't going to go with the crazy TiVo, no. And the Comcast was $5. So, like, I could spend $600, $700 on TiVo or $5 on Comcast. But you know what? That $600, $700 might have been a smarter investment because the interface for the Comcast box, oh, it is so horrible. It is horrible. So Comcast just announced that they're going to use the TiVo interface in their DVRs starting in New England.
Hopefully it'll get here.
Yeah.
So the TiVo interface
is
really good.
Why can't we be on the East Coast? They get all of the cool
stuff.
Because
we're here, man. It's great here.
You know, Santa Cruz actually, for like their digital cable boxes, have always had horrible interfaces. Like if you just go over to San Jose and use Comcast over there, they have much better usability on their boxes. It's really crazy.
Really?
So are you looking forward to having a TiVo interface?
Oh, I want it so bad. Yeah. You know, it's funny. We just hired a guy and moved him out from North Carolina. And he said, you know, coming to Silicon Valley, I fully expected to get at least internet connectivity like I had back home.
Right. Silicon Valley, of
course. 12, 14 megabit connection, really high speed. Everything's fiber where he came from. And lo and behold, nothing like it here. He says, I feel like I moved to a third world country. And this is Silicon Valley. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty soon.
So, anyway, it's coming.
There's a lot of people
TiVo
on our coverage.
Interface for Comcast coming soon, I hope. And they're not even talking if it's HD or not. I really
it's got to be.
It's got to be.
It's got to be. It's an upgrade, right? I've got to do that.
Now I don't watch a lot of TV. I actually watch less TV because of the Comcast cable box I got.
Because it's a DVR.
Because setting it up to record something is so difficult. And it records what you want it to. And it's missing a lot of the features that I think you need to do that.
I'd assume that it was recording what you want, but you're saying it's missing stuff?
Yeah, I just don't set up a lot of subscriptions because it's so difficult to do it. And I never end up with the shows I want.
That's the thing
I want only first-run shows. And then the previews happen. Or maybe it's a first-run on another network, but it's a repeat. But it's marked as a first-run, and I get it. And I go to my Comcast box, and I have five episodes.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm. And then I said, only record five. Right? So I want to watch a couple episodes, but I have five of the same. Oh, it just drives me
crazy.
It's
so bad. TiVo is a perfect example. Their interface was really based on that whole social networking phenomenon that's happened. In that, what would happen is, you know, let's say we're all consumers. I would mark four shows that I liked, and you'd mark three shows, let's say.
Yeah.
And it would see that, oh, you know, there's another fourth show. The people that check the shows that you like, they also like this show. And so you automatically would get selected some other shows that you didn't even know about. So it's this great way of learning.
I've heard about that. That's all new since I've left the service.
It's very cool. In any case.
And you can go online and say somebody told you, oh, you got to watch this show.
Yeah, that's that.
You can go online and push it to your TiVo.
Okay, good. So TiVo's coming to the Comcast.
Yeah, it's coming.
Hopefully, but it's going to start on the East Coast. Thank you, Sean. You know what? Yeah, Ryder, next news story?
Next news story.
You know what? Actually, let's do this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. When you turn on KSP during the week, most likely you're not expecting a laugh riot full of wild antics unless you're watching our show. Or listening to our show. But you're looking for thoughtful news and discussion, and that's exactly what you get on KUSP. And but you're probably surprised at how often you end up laughing. That's because our job is to transmit valuable information from the world to your head, and sometimes a good joke is the best way to do that. If you'd like to keep learning and laughing, then we need your membership support. Call right now, 1-888-777-1507, or join on our secure website at kusp.org.
I think everybody who listens to the show knows that I'm a big comic fan, and I like superheroes.
Thanks, Sean.
Sometimes. I'm no superhero, but you can be one. I mean, support public radio. You don't need to be faster than a speeding bullet and able to leap tall buildings. You can be just a cool National Public Radio listener. And support, please. We provide a lot of good info, at least I hope we do.
Minus this show.
And, please, your donations pay for programming that you hear every day, every week, and it keeps us on the air, and we appreciate that. Call 1-888-777-1507. That's 1-888-777-1507, and do your part today.
Currently, there's a Leadership Circle member who is contributing $350, so the next amount of pledges up to that gets doubled. And you can decide how much you contribute right now. Contribute $240. That's just $20 a month. As our thanks, choose any three: the KUSP Newsboy cap, embroidered field bag, or reusable grocery sack. You'll also receive the member card, good for 2-for-1 meals in the area restaurants, a lot of places, nights and bed and breakfast, and discount at local entertainment venues. Pledge now. Call 1-888-777-1507. Again, that's 1-888-777-1507. And of course, you can go to GeekSpeak. KUSP.org.
KSP is like a mosaic. Tile by tile, story by story, we create a strong and vivid picture of our world. From the greens of the environmentalists to the reds of war-torn countries, to the purples of people dedicated to a cause, to the blues of our teachers and service people, we're there every day. We piece it together for you. What's the cement that holds this mosaic together? You, of course. Public radio relies on people like you to pay for the reporting and storytelling that we bring to you every day. Help us add tiles to our growing mosaic by making a contribution of support today. Thanks.
You know, you ask two artists to paint the same scene, and there's not a chance in the world the paintings will come out looking the same. We see the world with different eyes. We all see things differently. We express our thoughts and feelings about the world in different ways. KUSP thrives on bringing you these differences. We hear from a colorful variety of people every hour of the day. We learn what makes people tick. We learn about how they choose to paint their world. Your support keeps the people, the color, and the wonderful difference coming here at KUSP. We're public radio, and that means we rely on you to pay the cost of creating this special kind of broadcasting. Please make a gift today. 1-888-777-1507 or go to KUSP.org.
You know, statistics show that it can take several years for listeners to make their first pledge. Wow. And that's incredible because 50% of our revenue comes from listeners like you. So please, take the leap, make a pledge. If you're a first-time listener, break that statistic. Call us, please. And become part of the community. Become part of KUSP. It's kind of cool. Call 1-888-777-1507. Or go to KUSP.org and make a pledge now.
GeekSpeak is supported by Henry J. Ramirez, DDS in Santa Cruz, specializing in cosmetic and family dentistry, using digital technology for less radiation, and offering one-appointment crowns and veneers. For appointments and more information, 423-2447. You're listening to GeekSpeak, in the Arum with me, Ryder Brooks, Sean Cleveland. This is Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP, and we are taking your calls with questions and comments of technology. Rick Philman, a volunteer like we all are, is sitting by the phones waiting to take your technical calls to pipe you on air and let us answer them, hopefully truthfully and helpfully. The numbers are 476-2800. Again, that's 476-2800 or toll free at 1-800-655-5877. Again, that's 1-800-655-5877. We're taking your calls to help you with your computer dilemmas, your technology problems, anything you'd like. You want to know about your hard drive? You want to know about should you upgrade to Vista? Give us a ring. We'll help you out. We know a lot about Macintoshes, a lot about Windows, and a little bit about Linux. You know about networking, and a little bit about electricity. You're curious about how those wall warts, those little power supplies work in your devices? Give us a call. Ask. The phone numbers are 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. GeekSpeak is supported by Business with Pleasure, a full-service business center in Scotts Valley, offering computer rentals, printing, design, shipping, delivered office supplies, notary public, and more. The information is online at businesswithpleasure.com. We are taking your calls with anything you'd like to ask, any technology questions. The phone numbers are 476-2800. Again, that's 476-2800. Or toll free at 1-800-655-5877. Again, that's 1-800-655-5877. As we wait for news, as we wait for calls to come in, let's go ahead and do some more news. Who was next in the list?
Looks like HDTVs and laptops are the most desired tech gifts for holiday 2007. Solutions Research Group has done some surveys. More than three-quarters of the 1,200 American men and women surveyed had at least one digital lifestyle product on their holiday season wish list. Most of them wanted flat-screen, high-definition televisions. Wow, 35% of them mentioned that.
35%. That's, I'd answer yes to that one.
And it seems only 6% listed Blu-ray disc or HD DVD players, and only 2% intended to get HD boxes from their cable or satellite company. Wow. I'm guessing they want over-the-air free HD. Don't we all?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the problem with getting the Blu-ray, the high-definition things, is it's the whole package that you have to get.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just the – I mean, if you want the the best image and the full experience, you have to buy the receiver, you have to buy the high-definition television, you have to buy the special movies that play in the special high-definition DVD player. So. Yeah,
it's true. It's a full upgrade.
Yeah. So I had that experience when I originally bought a DVD player, but my TV didn't accept it. You know, it only had the coax cable, and I tried running it through the VCR. Didn't work. You know, had the Macrovision scramble thing going on.
Yeah, yeah. It's a pain setting these up. Yeah. You know, it's interesting, the idea that only a small percentage want the cable box to be HD. I think that most consumers don't understand that that's part of the package, that to actually, after you've got your cable television, after you get your Blu-ray disc, if you want to watch the TV with the same signal, you got to get a DVR of some sort from your cable television.
I talked to a cable guy who actually goes and does service calls.
Yeah.
And he said the thing, the most difficult thing to deal with is people who buy new big HD screens and don't get HD channels. Do they watch the analog stuff that comes in off their cable? It actually looks worse than it does on a television. And they wonder, I just spent all this money and it just looks worse, you know. And the problem is that Comcast and these cable companies aren't broadcasting all digital channels yet. Sure. Not going to happen for another couple of years. So slowly happening, and I'm seeing more channels, you know, every day coming online that look better and better. But you really need the HD. You need to see it.
Let me ask, is your cable box is all a digital signal to some degree, right? Even like your non-HD signals?
No, I get a bunch that
you get analog. Yeah. And that conversion looks horrible.
You just sit farther away.
Take off your glasses.
Now, it turns out that men are on their top 10 list. They list PlayStation 3, and their sixth spot is in the sixth spot because of men. Xbox 360 is in the ninth spot. And women, because of women, the Wii is in the eighth spot. So I've just told you that. Which one do you think people want most?
The Wii.
It's true.
Is it?
When you look at both men and women, all the genders combined, or the two genders combined, yeah, they all want Wiis. Wii is the number one. You know, I'm not a big console person. I think PC gaming is just fine. It's awesome.
That's because we have amazing hardware.
But you know, after playing a Wii, I want one. They're so great.
Oh, really?
Oh, they're so amazing. So much fun. You know, it really gets everybody involved. And you're not just sitting there looking at a screen, moving your fingers. You're actually jumping up and moving around.
Yeah, your whole arm can be the controller. It's pretty
cool. It takes some skill, and I think that's what makes it interesting.
From Salinas, Frank, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Thank you.
What's your question today?
Fellas, I just purchased Lightroom software, and I have an HP scanner, the whole desk jet, and I'm trying to scan in some old photographs, and I want to capture them at the highest resolution.
Uh-huh.
And it's got a slider thing. I guess it goes like from 28 down to 96 down to something. And I tried it at the highest one and the second highest one, and it's saying not enough memory.
Oh.
Can you give me any insight on that?
This scanner, how's it attached to your computer? Is it a USB port or a SCSI?
Yes, it is.
USB. So there's not enough memory to capture the largest one. I would assume it's hard drive space, but it could be something else.
It sounds like virtual memory, possibly.
Yeah.
This is a Windows or Mac? I missed that.
It's a Windows.
Windows? Yeah, it sounds like maybe virtual memory. That's probably where it's storing it, right?
I would imagine, but the other question I have is maybe you are just going too high a resolution. What do you plan on doing with this photograph you're scanning in?
Well, some of them are about 100 years old, and they have a finite life.
Right.
So I want to try and get it on digital and then reprint it. So I understand the argument about you only need to go up to so much if it's going to be displayed on a monitor, but...
Even a printer, 600 DPI is pretty much the highest quality you're going to get on any printer. What printer are you planning on using?
I actually have planned to send them out and have them printed professionally.
How large?
The same size they are at this time.
Okay. So I would scan them in at 1200 DPI. It's going to be a good enough resolution to beat what you're planning on printing on.
That's a lot. That's pretty good.
So the answer is virtual memory. Is there any way I can increase that?
Yeah. What you want to do is go to Control Panel and go to System.
Yes.
It's quite a little...
it's complicated.
Yeah.
Ever do this. I mean, one thing is more memory for your computer is not going to cost you much. And you're going to get a lot better performance.
No. More memory is not going to solve the issue here.
You don't think so?
Virtual memory is different than just system memory. This is virtual memory. I mean, system memory is going to help. But if your virtual memory settings are wrong or you don't have any set, that could be an issue.
Okay.
And he really needs to check this.
Okay. Let me explain what my thought was. If you bumped up or doubled the RAM of the machine, then if you never touch the virtual memory, Windows will compensate and increase its
and
virtual
increase
memory
it
size.
Unless you have it set to zero.
Right. So the question is,
So what you want to do is go to Control Panel and click on System, and that'll open up System Properties. In there is an Advanced tab, and you'll want to click on Performance Settings button, and then you'll want to go to Advanced again. But you really have to dig for this, and then you'll see virtual memory. And what you want to do is you go in there and you click change, and you can go to Google and just type, how do you change virtual memory in Windows XP? And you'll get these directions, right? What you want to do is set your virtual memory to the recommended amount. So it'll say minimum allowed, recommended, currently allocated. Take the recommended, and let's say it's 1534 megabytes.
Yes.
You want it to be on your drive C. Set the initial size to that number and set the maximum size to that number. You want it to be the same.
All right.
And then initial size and maximum size the same?
Yeah, and click OK and apply, and you'll probably have to reboot.
All right.
Try that before you go spend money on more memory. And if
Thank
that doesn't
so
help,
much.
Try that. Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much for the call.
Yeah, memory's not that expensive right now.
It's true. Now, you'd suggested doing that before getting memory, but if that doesn't solve the problem, do you think more memory in the system will help?
Yeah, although I would recommend reading the manual for your scanner, because they might have some scratch disk that they're using
that's
not set up properly on your hard drive. And you, like Lyle said, you really don't need these crazy...
Yeah, I've overdone it on scanning.
Yeah.
Well, if you're doing it for archival purposes, you know, who knows... 20 years down the road, still got it. There might be some, you know, high definition printers.
There's only
that would
so much data
that.
You can get from an old photograph, right?
Yeah, it's an interesting dilemma. I mean, I've definitely had the problems. I've got my father's collection of slides are just insanely large. You know, thousands and thousands of slides. And what do I do? And I go back and forth on this. But one thing that I've realized is that if I'm planning really only on printing out a certain size, I'll make it so I can print double the size and scan that in.
Oh,
and
that's
good. I think of a print as a 600 DPI image. So, you know, that whole discussion about resolution is so complicated, especially over the air. We've tried it before. But let's move on. In Santa Cruz, Doug, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Hi, how are you guys doing this morning?
Quite well. What's your question today, sir?
Don't laugh too hard. I'm still on dial-up.
Okay.
And I have alldial.net. I have a fixed income. I'm elderly, and this is what's affordable for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had no problems for about a year now, and this month I've been getting a few crashes and some warbles and slow movement, and I called them up, and they told me, a few things, fix-up remedies to go,
What'd they suggest?
Huh?
What kind of stuff did they suggest?
Well, they have a set of problems that will come up. It'll say error number 760, and then they go to a manual, and there'll be a set of details that will fix that problem.
Mm-hmm.
And now the problems are not being fixed in that way, and they said that I need a new modem. And I have these problems during rush hour, usually 9 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
12 o'clock noon and 5 o'clock at night. And then about 9 o'clock at night, I have no problems. Everything runs smoothly if I go early in the morning.
Now, is this mostly just your internet connection, when you're downloading pages and stuff? That seems to slow down during those times?
Well, say I'm playing internet backgammon or internet hearts or, making normal searches.
Right.
It'll just be really slow turning the page if I want to get, the sports page.
So your internet activity really decreases during these times, and they're saying you need a new modem.
Yes, and I'm wondering whether they're selling me a bill of goods.
Does your modem actually drop the connection, or does it stay connected?
Sometimes it'll drop it.
I'm suspecting that you have some sort of line noise that's degrading the rate at which the data is transferring on your modem. Usually what modems will do is as there's interference, it'll drop down to a more reliable speed, which degrades your performance.
Are you in a building with a lot of residents?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
And I have problems on my radio too.
But I think Ryder's right.
There's a
the
lot
line
of electricity
noise.
Going around.
I think what's happening is the telephone system that's built into the building that you're in. When other people pick up the phone, there's a little bit of noise being induced into your line, and you probably could hear it on your normal phone. You might hear people talking every once in a while that's not actually part of your conversation.
No, I never hear that.
Never hear that.
Any static?
Do you ever hear any clicks or anything going on your phone line?
Mm. Not really. Okay. The phone line has been pretty good.
What kind of modem do you have?
I don't know.
You don't speak?
I have Windows XP. Mm-hmm. And,
is it 500 built in?
Megahertz, Pentium 3, 128 megabytes, 9 gigabytes, Dell XPS T500 ViewSonic monitor.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think that, I mean, what do you think? You should try a new modem?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what kind of modem he's got. I mean, do you know at what speed you connect it, like 56K modem, or is it built into your computer, or is it an external modem?
It's built into the computer. Okay. It's in the stack.
It's not out of the realm of possibilities. It may help. Not knowing what kind of modem you have, you may have something that's not very good, and a better modem could handle that signal.
Yeah.
So that could be the problem.
That could be the problem. Yeah. I don't think they're selling you a bill of service. It sounds like they're doing a good job with you.
Okey-dokey.
Okay, good luck.
No, they've been very reliable for a year, and I just wanted to check that. Mm-hmm. Now, once I get this problem fixed, can I run a laptop off of my dial-up?
Yes, you can. You need to have a modem in the laptop as well.
Uh-huh.
And the laptop probably has a modem.
And I haven't added my scanner or printer because I've had problems, sure. With slow. I didn't want to add too much things. I'll be able to use those, too?
Yeah, you should be able to use those.
I have an Epson 1600 DPI.
Yeah, if you've got the CD, still fine. And as long as it's probably a USB printer. If you've got, like, an old SCSI or a parallel printer, it's going to be a little more difficult.
No, it's totally USB.
Yeah, you should be set. Thank you so much for the call, Doug.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. You know, there's a word emerging in our language that I disdain. It's automagical. The word basically means automatic with a subtext of I don't know how that works. Or it's more like you wouldn't understand how it works. So geeks kind of use this every once in a while to kind of stop the conversation. But here on GeekSpeak, we show you how things work. We respect your intelligence. And we do this all through the magic of radio, if you will. With just words and sounds, we transport you to places around the globe. You know, not so much on GeekSpeak, but on the rest of the wonderful content on KOSP, we bring you up to date on significant issues and events. We let you know about the latest in music and arts. Help us keep that magic alive. Call 1-888-777-1507 or go to kosp.org.
Now, when you listen to public radio, you make a choice, and it's a choice that says a lot about you, your priorities, your taste, and your worldview. Today, we're asking you to make another choice, the choice to support public radio. The people who listen to public radio are more informed, more involved, more interested than your average radio listener, which is why public radio works in the first place. We know you care about quality, and quality is always worth paying for. Call now to support the station that brings you quality programs throughout the year. It only takes a moment, and your membership is good for a year.
You know, you decide how much to contribute to KUSP, but, you know, if you contribute $120, that's just $10 a month, which isn't that bad. As our thanks, you'll get a KUSP Newsboy cap, embroidered field bag, or reusable grocery sack, you choose. You'll also receive the member card, good for 2-for-1 meals at area restaurants, nights in bed and breakfasts, and discounts at local entertainment venues. But you know what? You get to keep us on the air. I think that's probably the best gift of all. Pledge now. Call 1-888-777-1507. Pretty easy number to remember. 888-777-1507. Or you can go to kusp.org and pledge online.
We're looking for support from GeekSpeak listeners. You listen to GeekSpeak regularly? Give us a call. We have an anonymous KUSP Leadership Circle member, and they're matching your gifts right now. So your money's kind of doubled, if you will. Please, if you listen to GeekSpeak a lot, we need to hear from you. Wake up in the morning, you start to think. Small thoughts, big thoughts, grand ideas, funny ideas. We're all thinking people that listen and participate on KUSP. It's how we get through life. How does KUSP fit into our always thinking minds? KUSP aims to help you connect these thoughts and to consider new perspectives. We find the big ideas. We find some interesting small ideas too. We talk to people. We look at the angles. We find the stories. And then we share them with you. KUSP keeps us thinking. KUSP keeps us talking. KUSP connects us to each other in new and intriguing ways. KUSP builds community and makes our world a better place to live. So give us a call. 1-888-777-1507. It's such an easy number to remember that I remembered it without even realizing I had. Again, that's 1-888-777-1507.
Oh. you know, when you turn the switch on in your home, the lights come on. When you call KUSP with a gift for support, our lights come on too. Imagine that. We can pay our bills. You have the power to keep things running here at KUSP. And, you know, there are some people out there who would love to see this kind of journalism, public journalism, go dark, believe it or not. Those who would hide the truth and who only look at one side of every story. Without your support, we're in the dark. This kind of work simply doesn't get done. You know what what NPR delivers and what KUSP delivers. And you don't get these kind of shows anywhere else. So please call 1-888-777-1507 or go to KUSP.org and click on the blue button. It's really cool. You should go check it out.
So what are you waiting for? This is your opportunity to make another year of thoughtful programs and in-depth news, information, and music from KUSP and National Public Radio. Help make this campaign short and successful for KUSP. The number to call is 1-888-777-1507. That's 1-888-777-1507. Or pledge online at our secure website, kusp.org. You'll be glad you did, and so will we. Thank you.
Elizabeth, welcome to Geek Speak. What's your question today?
Hi, I love your show, even though I really only understand maybe a tenth of what you guys are talking about.
Us too.
I'm trying to learn. I have a question about listening to something on the internet that I would like to then put on MP3 or CD or tape or anything, but that it's not formatted for that. Is that possible to do?
Are you talking about streaming content?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, for example, KUSP's got a lot of our shows up on the website, kuSP.org. And GeekSpeak, of course, has all of our shows for 4 or 5 years, something like that, up on geekspeak.org. And their files are already MP3 files, and you can right-click on them or on a Mac control-click on them and download them to your computer.
But if they're not...
So you're talking about more like streaming stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, there's hacks to do this. Does anyone know of a good...
What operating system are you using?
Are you on Windows or Macintosh?
My husband is, well, I'm on Mac. I'm not
okay.
sure.
Okay. On Macintosh? Okay.
There's definitely stuff on Mac that I came across. I'm drawing a blank on the name, but there is actual commercial software out there that it's not a hack. It's actually a program that you can run. You know what it is, Lyle. You told me about it.
I know. delay.
But it basically takes any audio hijack. It takes any audio source that you have out in your computer and will record it real time.
It's called Audio Hijack?
Audio Hijack, yeah. It's from Rogue Amoeba.
Rogue Amoeba?
Yeah. And I'm going to go ahead and put that the Audio Hijack link on the GeekSpeak website just after the show.
Have we tried it?
I've had students that have tried it. Yeah, it does work.
Is it a shareware program?
No, it's a paid program.
Is there a beta or a demo?
Let me seek.
There are shareware alternatives.
You can
out
try
there.
It for a while, and then you can also buy it, and it's under $50.
I would try it first,
But I'd definitely try it first, and you'll get to feel if you like how it works.
Now the issue with this is that you have to click on it when you want to record it. It's not like you can play it and then decide clicking on it later and then have it record the whole thing. It does require some real time interaction on your part.
Okay,
Elizabeth, thank you so much for the call.
Thank you.
All right.
Is it a really guy calling from Atlanta, Georgia?
Atlanta, Georgia. Larry, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Well, sure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling back.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me say, I try to listen to your show every week. Guys, need some help. What I have, guys, is an HP laptop, which I love. And I got a laptop about 2 years ago. It came pre-installed with Windows XP. Worked fine until recently when somehow my registry crashed, the hard drive crashed. So long story short, I called HP. I ordered what they call a Windows reinstall diskette. Got the diskette, booted it up, got my system going, and I was able to get my software, which is good.
Great.
Yeah. However, guys, what I want to do right now is do a whole fresh, clean reinstall. But I'm having troubles. I tried to do that with my Windows pre-installed CD. I get a menu that says advanced. I hit that, and it asks me for the access code. I don't have that.
So you're getting to the part of the Windows install where it's asking for the serial number?
Well, what I did, it had a menu that said, for advanced advice, hit that. I did that, and in order to move on to the next window, right, it asked me to type in the access or something code.
Yeah.
Is it a whole bunch of little tiny boxes together?
Yes.
Okay,
exactly.
So, good.
Now, your notebook has a sticker on it, but that's not the right number that you need. That's what you're finding, right?
If you look on the bottom of your laptop, there should be like a little Microsoft sticker.
Yeah, that number's not going to work for you. What you need to do is find the your box that your notebook came in and your original documentation, and that number is going to be in there somewhere.
Should be in a should be with like a manual almost on the sleeve of that, and it should have that same kind of four digits repeated. I don't know, six times, something like that.
Now, installing from these recovery disks that are from the manufacturer are great because they include all the drivers that you need for your specific model of notebook. But that said, you don't need to do that. You could get a retail version of the operating system, and then you'll want to go to HP's website, put in the model number of your notebook, and download the drivers are there. Either way, you really want to go to HP's website and download the latest versions of the drivers, because I guarantee the drivers that are integrated on that recovery disk are old.
Interesting.
So once you get installed, go grab those new drivers.
Now, the other thing is, if you just bought this machine from HP and recently, you should be able to get this number back from them if you've lost it, I'm assuming, off of that product ID that's on the sticker. It's a little more difficult.
You can try.
Definitely try to find that serial number. It's a very important. In fact, that's the legal ownership, if you will, of that license of Windows, is that number.
I'm guessing you probably didn't find your original disks, which is why you asked them to send you a new one, right?
Well, guys, as a matter of fact, HP, as I remember, it happened about a year and a half, 2 years ago. As I remember, HP did not send me any reinstalled disks to begin with.
Then you need to call them back and let them know that you don't have the serial because it didn't come with the disk.
Yeah, and give them a hard time until they crack. Larry, thank you so much for the call.
Thank you, guys.
And thanks for listening from
Atlanta,
Georgia.
This is interesting. We were talking last night about the Mac OS doesn't have a serial because they sell their hardware, right? And they know that you can't install their OS on any other hardware, so they can just give out their software.
Yeah, that's basically how it works.
And why can't HP do that too?
The thing is, it's so nice to not have to worry about that security level, because it's a pain to remember where that number is. Yeah. So it's kind of convenient. Now, of course, I guess technically, because there's no security level, OS X always gets updated all the time, right? They've got 10.4 right now, and pretty soon there'll be 10.5. And if one person buys that and they don't have the security model, you could share it with lots of people. So there is that issue.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming that Apple just doesn't care enough for that little loss to make it so much harder for people to install their software. It's a pretty interesting thing.
Yeah. Looks like we got a call from Fred.
Actually, let's talk about...
You are?
So Ask Dr. Don got 26 pledges during the hour.
Oh, my gosh.
Geek Speak so far, we need more. The phone number to donate is 1-888-777-1507. Again, that's 1-888-777-1507.
Oh, please, you guys, please call. It's so pathetic.
You're making us look bad.
Well, Don's just did a really good show, So what are you going to say?
We've got one call, Lyle. Oh, my goodness.
Well, wait, Sean, put that down. Why should people donate to KUSP?
Well, we donate our time every week to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And people call in asking for information, and I hope we help them. If we've helped you in the past, please call. Help us now. I heard Dawn say that last hour, and it worked for her. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna put out the guilt trip. I'm making you feel guilty.
No.
Please call us and help KUSP. Terry is right here, the station manager, and he's just shaking his head because he just can't be beside himself. I'm so embarrassed. No, I'm
all right,
kidding.
Enough of that.
Okay. There's something about KSP that you like, but you might not be able to describe it. You just can't put your finger on it. Maybe it's the fact that we broadcast programs of substance that feed your curiosity. Maybe it's because we employ serious journalists who know how to report on issues in a factual, intelligent way.
Other than this show.
Yeah. Maybe it's because there's this sense of purpose in what we broadcast, that we're presenting information in a way that isn't sensational or manipulative, except for today.
Except for just now. And I'm not apologizing.
Now, that's what we've helped you put your finger on, why you listen. We're hoping that you'll put your finger on work on dialing your phone. Listeners like you are the most important source of funding for KSUP. So please dial 1-888-777-1507 and let us know that you love KUSP.
You're going to, of course, use our secure website. Look, donating to KUSP takes about 3 minutes. We can't do it without you. it's easy and convenient to use your computer. And since you're listening to GeekSpeak, we know you have a computer. Unfortunately, since you're listening to GeekSpeak, your computer probably doesn't work. Well, that's not a good combination. In any case, tell us why you value KUSP and tell us how you value KUSP by going to kusp.org and donating now.
Now, today, thanks to the involvement of many, KUSP has become the source of news, culture, and ideas for people all over our region. The only way we can continue to serve the region as well as do as what we as well as we do is because our members make it possible with their financial support. Please join the thousands of other proud members of KUSP who make gifts of support. You'll allow KUSP to call to continue to tell extraordinary stories that enrich your life.
You know, there's one place that there's a sense of public service and that public service is alive and well. And in my life, it's KUSP. I donate my time every week because I feel that public service is very important. You can be a part of that public service. If you've never called a public radio station right ever before, I urge you to try it right now. You're going to like it. The phone number is 888-777-1507. Again, that's 888-777-1507. And of course, you can go online. Just takes a second and it's worth your time.
You'll be off the phone in a moment. And you'll feel good about supporting public radio and KUSP. Just call 1-888-777-1507. That's 1-888-777-1507. Or make a quick pledge online on our new secure website, kusp.org. Thank you.
We're done with calls right now. I don't think we have time to invite more people to call in. We have one more news. Or Sean, do you have something?
Actually, Fred from Boulder Creek called in to say that he recommends Wiretap. It's shareware and it's inexpensive.
Oh, for audio grabbing.
For grabbing
software.
Audio.
Wiretap. Okay, Wiretap. I'll have to do a search and add that to our website too. Wiretap.
A quick story.
Mm-hmm.
So down in Orange County, there's these two guys that basically have built these radio controlled UFOs. And
of course.
They basically take pleasure in scaring the heck out of people. They fly it over concerts, over
what do they look like,
parking lots. They have a 36-inch wingspan. They're basically circular. Uh-huh. They have LED lights, and they program it in a way so it does spinning motions. It makes it look like a rotating UFO in the sky. And there's these,
what's the propeller? How does it actually fly?
It's probably just
a plane?
Just a propeller, uh-huh. Yeah. Just a standard, probably electric or gas-powered plane. And these two guys, they're... Steve Zingali and Lynn Murphy down in Orange County. And
it's wonderful.
They basically, that's their hobbies. They go and just
mess with people's minds.
Yeah. and the police know about it down there. And
they
kind of think they think it's entertaining. And they're like, whatever. It's not illegal. So
sure. I like it. There's a lot of maker kind of ideas out in the world right now.
Yeah.
Pretty soon we're going to have a great book by O'Reilly Publishing called Making Things Talk, and it's all about microcontrollers and how you can engineer stuff that you normally make from your garage so they can speak and interact with you in new ways. And I just got a copy of the book, and we're going to have the host on pretty soon. Of course, we're going to have what other shows do we have that we do a lot on KUSP? We're going to talk about your computers. I think we do that a lot. LSI is going to be coming on.
Yeah, and I just invited Corsair Memory. That should be interesting. I'd love to talk about how memory's made and what's coming down the pipe.
A pipe, memory.
Sorry, memory. Standard pipe.
GeekSpeak is supported by a grant from Santa Cruz Electronics, offering an extensive selection of computer and electronic parts as well as support services. Santa Cruz Electronics is open daily at 2808 Soquel Avenue and online at santacruzelectronics.com. The geeks this morning were Ryder Brooks and Sean Cleveland. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Lyle.
Thank you.
Troxel.
My name's Lyle Troxel. Answering the phone is Rick Philman. Thank you all for listening to GeekSpeak. Without you, it would just be us geeking out. And who wants to listen to that? GeekSpeak is a registered service mark of Online Tonight with David Lawrence and is used by permission. Broadcasting in HD radio on 88.9 FM, this is Central Coast Public Radio KUSP, KBDH San Otto, or on the web at kusp.org. Coming up next is Castle Cottage with Susan Freeman. But first, of course, we're going to have the Slo County Report. For KUSP and GeekSpeak, I'm Lyle Troxel, and thanks for listening. You just listened to another episode of GeekSpeak via our podcast. Would you do us a favor? Please go to your favorite podcasting index site, whether it be iTunes, Dig.com, Odeo, or another site, and write a review or give us a vote to let others know what you think about GeekSpeak. Thanks, that'd really help us out. GeekSpeak is supported by PreownedCar.com, PreownedCar.com, where anyone can post their vehicle for sale or browse to purchase a pre-owned car from other car owners. More information available at PreownedCar.com. This is Lyle Troxel for KUSP. Thanks for listening.